All right, here we go. I got to remember where all my buttons are on my media thing here. It's the NFFL podcast coming at you live and in person. At least when we record. Welcome back to the NFFL podcast. I am your host with all the most, Dr. Richard Headley. Joining me this week is the master of numbers, Scotty Sweatman. How you doing, Scott?
I am doing great. Happy to be back on the podcast.
Yeah. Welcome back. So, Scott, how are things over in number world? You've been keeping us up with our stats, and
I've been
negligent in using them the last couple weeks.
I was very happy you used some of my numbers last week when you had no co-host. So I like to see my numbers not go to waste.
Well, I definitely used some of them this week, so we'll definitely dive into them a bit this week.
Yes, and I could say my numbers led to me picking up Cole Kmet before last week, which didn't help you, but I was quite happy.
It didn't help me, but honestly, nothing would have helped me. I couldn't have beaten a Girl Scout last week. My numbers last week look like what I shoot for when I go bowling.
Yep.
If I crack 100 when I go bowling, I'm happy. So this was my bowling week.
Excellent.
You may or may not have the whoop ass victory of the week. So yeah.
I believe I do with 106 point. We'll get into that though.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into that. But yeah, we were talking off mic. We're not gonna bother with injuries anymore because you guys all know what the injuries are, and it just feels like a waste of time. So, if you like injuries, go look for your own injuries, you sick, twisted individuals. Instead, let's talk about a couple of things that happened in the NFL, like Joshua Dobbs in Minnesota.
Yeah.
What do you make of Joshua Dobbs showing up off the plane and leading Minnesota to a victory over Snidely Whiplash in Atlanta?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I was actually texting Ty about it, and he just couldn't believe they came back and won that thing with Dobbs coming in out of there. I felt so
that
bad
was
after the BYU quarterback, Jalen Green. Yeah, like he was looking pretty good. And then that injury, you're like, all right,
yeah.
This guy who barely knows the players on the team, jumping in.
He doesn't know play names, doesn't know player names, and national hero. But hey, it goes to show, being a rocket scientist is, there you go. Yeah, good job trading for him there. And tight ends went off in week 10.
Boy,
we'll get into it, but tight ends were just explosive this week. You saw it when you did the stats, I'm sure, but they were just crazy.
They were indeed.
What do you make of that?
Well, my nemesis Taysom was on the list.
Yeah, he was.
I'm a little worried when I face Chuck again because this is the first year being in the other division that I face Chuck twice now and E-Town twice, I think. So.
Oh, yes. Like, you get Taysom twice.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's ready to
I've toyed with the idea of putting together a little graphic for you of you going up against Taysom, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
That would have been fun. But yeah, while we're talking about it now, so we talked about Cole Kmet, the number one tight end, two touchdowns with Badgett thrown to him. Of course, Dalton Schultz.
That one, he just kind of wrestled it. That one was a grown man touchdown.
Goodness, it was.
I got to watch so much football this week because I bit the bullet and I actually did the half season of Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV. So I got to watch so much football this week. I sent the picture out on Ring and I sent the same picture up to Kelly while she was upstairs, and she's like, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, with the Niners with the bye week, I ended up just watching NFL Network, their game day, where they just can show all the scoring. So that's how I watched on Sunday, but it was fun.
Nice. Yeah, it's nice. I didn't watch a single commercial until about an hour into the games.
Nice.
Yes, that's very nice. And since I'm on a projector, every TV is like a 40-inch screen.
There you go.
Yeah. So the only other thing I wanted to point out before we get into the looking at the games is that we are officially in the playoff push. There are 5 games left before we hit the playoffs. So let's talk briefly. What teams are in and what teams are out by your prognostications? What do you think?
Indeed. Oh, it's funny. Matthias and I were talking about this, and I was just saying how I've been rising up and trying to get there. And he was saying from his viewpoint, it was like the bottom 6 teams he could all see easily missing the playoffs, which is an interesting place to be in. It seems like the top 6 are pretty secure. But even then, I would go closer to top 5, I guess, with ending with E-Town.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like 6 and below are all under 500 right now.
Oh, yeah.
So you said we have 5 games left, which means...
Yeah, this is the first of 5 left.
The best that Jesse could do is 5-9 if he went on a 5-game win streak. Currently, he's projected at 90 points for this week.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that one. That's a fun one to get into. But yeah, no one is mathematically locked in. No one is technically mathematically eliminated yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure after this week, someone might be, but
yeah, I would say it probably will be. The other interesting thing is Rob's falling quite a bit, even though he's 3-6, like he only has less than 20 points on the season, more than Jizza. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So could, even if the 25%ers don't make the playoffs, could they make a push to not have the Pierce?
Ooh. Yeah, we'll talk more about Pierce, I'm sure, at some point. All right, so let's say we get into some film review and talk about last week's games.
All right,
let me find my sound board here. There we go. I didn't go back to confirm because I just kind of threw them in on the fly for my picks last week. But I don't think I got a single game right last week. That's not entirely true. I don't think I picked myself to win.
Yeah, I believe you picked me.
Okay, so I think I got one right last week.
Yeah, there is a lot.
But I don't think I got any of the other 5 right.
Yeah.
Because I seriously picked those 5. I picked those games on the fly. And
there was a lot of bottom of the standings wins.
There were a lot of, it was just, it was crazy. But let's start out with E-Town Asian taking on Lance Manlove. I had E-Town taking this one, but it turned out 160-56 to 190-96. That's a 30.4-point margin of victory for Lance Manlove. Looking at some studs, we got TJ Edwards with 15 total tackles. Amari Cooper went 5 for 139 and a touchdown. He was our number 4 wide receiver on the week with that trick shot touchdown of his. And Josh Jacobs went for 98 yards, 2 touchdowns, number 2 running back on the week. And some stinkers. Zay Flowers, 1 whole catch for 11 yards. Bijan Robinson, 51 yards and a fumble, and Michael Thomas, 1 target, 0 catches.
Yeah.
Anyone in this game stick out to you, yay or nay, stud or stinker?
Well, I'll just point out Mike Parsons was back this week. You never know with him. He's such a great defender, but Yeah, 20 points from him was huge on Jason's defense. Big part of why he came out of that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Parsons, fun 20
points
that.
Is almost the difference.
And what fun chat we had going back and forth for the Dallas-Philly game.
Ah, yes, that was fun. I was that gif. I seriously, if we didn't have any popcorn in the house, but I almost popped a bag of popcorn. I looked for it. We didn't have any in the house.
And then how about Younghoe Koo?
Oh, yes.
19 points as a kicker over his projected 8, so that was quite
always
nice.
Good to shout out a kicker. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give the MVP to Amari Cooper just because it's fun and because he had, like I said, that trick shot touchdown that should not have ever worked in any reality.
But yeah, Cooper, not a Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Cooper's not a pooper this week. So there you go, MVP. Second matchup, Awful Waffles taking on San Diego 8. I had Awful Waffles again wrong. 154-72 to 171-93, 17.21-point margin of victory for San Diego 8. Looking at the studs, Jake Ferguson, one of the tight ends, 7 for 91 and a touchdown, 18 and 6 points. Dalton Schultz, number 2 tight end on the week, 10 for 130 and a touchdown, good for 22 points. And Mario Davis, 10 total tackles, a sack, a forced fumble, good for 23.40 points.
Welcome back to Mario.
I believe he was one of the top defenders of the week, just not in the specific category. And the stinkers in this matchup, Travis Kelce did not have his significant other in attendance, so he only went 3 for 14. Chris Godwin, only 2 for 16. And Daryl Henderson, 37 total yards and 2 catches. Anyone want to shout out yay or nay on this one?
Well, I was going to add Puka in there. He is not going great since he's left your team.
No. I apparently traded him away just in time. But to be fair, he did have Brett Rippin farts thrown to him. So.
Yeah. Ty's had a little bit of a rough go with the trades lately.
He has. He seems to be trading at the wrong time for a lot of his guys lately.
Yeah, and his team has – he traded for Brock Purdy, and I got Lavonte David, and now his defense has fallen apart. And boy. Mm-hmm.
So everyone make a trade with Ty right now. You'll get the better end of it, apparently. Yeah.
The other one I'd point out is Derwin James on Monday night is kind of what sealed it for San Diego 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a decent game and that put him up over the top. So yeah.
Yeah.
Good week for San Diego 8. I did see today that Rippin was released on was it today? Yeah, Rippin was released today. And they signed what's his face in honor of Danny. What's his nuts? Carson Wentz.
Oh, I saw that too. And now the Pokemon Master is back as well, Blake Martinez.
Oh yes, I shared that story. Yes, because he was defrauding people, so yep. his side hustle is no more.
And somehow they say he's going to start this week.
We'll see. Is his game on Thursday? Yeah, that's Thursday. Demario Davis, MVP for this one. Jim Kelly Hates Cancer took on, at this point, it was Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian.
What's the dude about?
I had Save a Horse, Ride a Lesbian at this point. I was wrong. 189-48 to 134-98. 54.5-point margin of victory for Jim Kelly Hates Cancer. Ooh. Studs, Taysom Hill and his 21 points. Taysom walked up to the mic and said, I taste some points here. I taste some points there. Number 3 tight end of the week. Don't know if I said that or not. Max Crosby, big man with multiple X's, 3 sacks, 8 total tackles, number one defensive lineman on the week. Yep. And Dak Prescott, 374 yards and 3 touchdowns, good enough for number two quarterback on the week.
Only being overshadowed by C.J. Stroud.
Oh, yes. Everyone got overshadowed by C.J. Stroud. I have him in another league, and he put up 70 points
and did you
in
start that league.
A- yes. I'm fourth place in that league, by the way.
Oh, there you go. I was just mad he spread it around so much. I'm like, come on, get to Nico.
Yeah. Stinkers, Sam Hubbard was a goose. Isaiah Pacheco only had 66 yards. And Kenneth Walker III, 17 total yards. Any other studs and stinkers you want to talk about?
Boy, Ben's running backs in general, Pacheco and Pollard. And Breece Hall.
Pollard is such a disappointment this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
but Pollard is such a disappointment this year. He's definitely not what I was expecting.
No, not at all. And then shout out to Chuck's amazing defense, which really pulled it out for him. Mm. Goodness, Hicks, Crosby, Blankenship. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chuck
Crosby was definitely the MVP.
Chuck's on an 8-game win streak now.
Chuck is looking good.
He's not lost since week one.
He's definitely the front runner in my book for the Phyllis at this point. So looking at the next matchup. Roster Guard 99 took on the 25%ers. I actually had the 25%ers as an underdog victory in this one, and they almost put it off.
So close.
Almost. Only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes, though. 169-66 to 160-78. 8.88 point margin of victory for Roster Guard 99.
Closest margin of the
week. Before I go into studs and stinkers. Before I go into studs and stinkers, I shifted from doing just the whole percentage of Philly players because, you know, it gets old after a while. So I decided to go with the optimum Philadelphia lineup because he only started 4 Philly players. So that's only 27% of his roster.
Yes.
So there's 2 on the bench. He could have swapped Gainwell in and added 6.2 points. It still wouldn't have been enough to win. So at least there's that.
Yeah, Nicholas Morrow wasn't doing anything for him, his other Philly on the bench.
Yeah. So studs, Juwan Bentley. Woo! 13 total tackles, 2 sacks, 30.40 points, and ran away with the linebackers this week, number one on the week.
Number one, defensive player owned on the week.
Period.
There's one free agent that scored higher on D, but.
Yeah. And Rashad White, 119 total yards, 2 touchdowns, 25.90 points, number one running back on the week.
Man, what a fun game that was.
Yes, that was. I was watching that one in one of those little boxes, and then it popped up full screen. So, yeah, I was there for the final quarter the whole time. Stinkers on the week. Aiden O'Connell, 209 pass yards. That's pretty much it. And Tyler Higbee, one target, 0 catches. What about your studs and stinkers for this one?
Oh, you forgot Quay Walker. Oh, I guess he was injured, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't really count injuries when it comes to gooses.
Boy. Great defense for 25%ers in the loss. That's been what's keeping them close, I feel like. That might get them a win some time here in the near future.
Yep. I'm pulling for you, Jizza. I know what it feels like to not get a win in this season. I know what it feels like to get only 1 or 2.
We haven't had a no-win season in the NFFL in a long time.
Well, Jizza, you don't want to be that guy.
Nope. Because you may have Chuck giving you your Pierce punishment.
Yeah, you don't want that. yeah. MVP in this one, Joe Burrow. Cool Joe Burrow. Joe Cool Burrow, whatever Joe it is. Cool Burrow. Next up, our game, Sweatman's Runners at Night Shift. The only game I picked correctly, I gave it to you. 215-24 to 109-06, and that's 106.18 margin of victory. And yes, indeed, the whoop-ass victory of the week.
That's right.
Studs, Jalen Hurts, 242 total yards, 3 total touchdowns, 34.24 points. Still didn't make the top 5 QBs.
He did not, but he's still number 2 or 3 for the year.
It's yes. Jalen Warren had himself a day finally, 113 total yards, 3 receptions, and just missed a touchdown. And I got to tell you, I was so pissed at Pittsburgh's coaching staff for taking him out and then deciding to run up the middle with Najee. And everyone in the stadium knew it. And then, as much as I love seeing Deontay get his first touchdown in like a year and a half, it went to you.
It did.
And Cole Kmet, number one tight end on the week, 6 for 55 and 2 touchdowns, 22.90 points. Yep. Stinkers, Trey Hendrickson, 1 tackle, worst showing of the season for him. And I put my entire team on here. Collectively, not that low below projections, but like I said at the beginning, I couldn't have beaten a Girl Scout this week.
You had a
what about your studs and stinkers?
You had a total of 2 players in double digits, so that was rough.
yeah, it was not a good week.
My receiving core really loved that.
Probably them. My worst week in quite some time. Yes.
But yeah, my receiving core, my defense coming on strong.
I looked for stinkers on your side, and it was very difficult to find any.
KJ Osborne and Justice Hill.
Right. So MVP for this one, definitely going to Jalen.
Or Cole Kmet.
And final matchup of the week is Bear Bunda's Nightmare taking on Gridiron Mafia. Again, I had the wrong pick. 196-66 to 164 even. 32.66 point margin of victory for Bear Bunda's Nightmare. Studs, Josh Allen and his 35 points. Good for number 5 quarterback on the week. Ramondre Stevenson, not used to having him in this category this season. 129 total yards, touchdown, and his best game of the season for him. Number 4 running back on the week. And Jonnu Smith, who Arthur likes to run instead of Bijan in the red zone, apparently. 5 receptions, 100 yards, a touchdown, and, you know, the end around for the touchdown. 20.10 points and number 4 tight end of the week.
Indeed.
Stinkers. George Pickens, who had 2 receptions for a negative yard and a tantrum. Jason Sanders, 2 whole points. And DK Metcalf caught 1 of 4 targets.
For 50 yards.
How about your studs and stinkers? Yeah, but still, it's 1 target, 1 out of 4.
Yeah. Well, how about Joey Bosa and those 29 points coming out of having a lot of off weeks? Woo!
Oh, I figured you would bring him up, so that's why I didn't bring him up.
Yeah.
It's good to see at least one of the Bosa brothers finally having a good game.
Indeed. I think Nick will be back after the bye.
Well, bringing in Chase so that someone else can get some attention should help.
That pass rush better help us.
I went to Wendy's the other night and they had two people working. And so it took forever. And I got up to the window and the kid working the window only wanted to talk about the two Bears players who got traded. I'm sitting there like, dude, just give me my food. Oh, man. So that's the MVP. Josh Allen. Are we all surprised at all? So that is week 9. Let's hand out some hardware. It's so fancy. Such fancy music. I didn't do this last week. So Telnet Offensive Player of the Week. Rashad White with his 119 total yards, 2 touchdowns, and his 25.90 points. And Sparcy's, wait, is that Telnet or is that Sparcy? Yeah. And Telnet's Defensive Player of the Week. Okay. I have like deleted and re-entered this stuff so many times. Telnet's Defensive Player of the Week is actually a tie between Joey Bosa and Max Crosby.
Yes.
Who scored the exact same points of 29.20, but came about to it in a different way. Bosa had 6 total tackles, 2.5 sacks, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. And Max Crosby had 3 sacks and 8 total tackles. Ooh. And somehow they both got 29.20 points. Meanwhile, Sparcy was our offensive player of the week for Sparcy. Josh Jacobs, his 98 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 21.80 points.
Going Jacobs, huh?
Yeah.
Not CJ?
Well, they got to play.
Got it.
Got to play. You can't award someone who rode the pine. Yeah. Otherwise, there'd be a lot of different guys that get this award every week. Indeed. And Defensive Player of the Week, Jawan Bentley, 13 total tackles, 2 sacks, 30.40 points. So, Scott, why don't you give us, round us out some of our top fives at each position?
Yeah, I'll do that. All right, top five. I'd like to go, if you don't mind, top five for week 9 and then look at year to date as well, since we're in that playoff push. I just find it interesting for that. So this past week, top five, obviously CJ Stroud, not actually played in our league, 57.4 mm-hmm. points. Dak Prescott played by the Dude Abides, 41.38 points. Joshua Dobbs coming in for Minnesota, third this week. Joequel Burrow fourth, and then Josh Allen fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Some good quarterbacks. Top running backs, we talked about Rashad White. He's your MVP there for the Telnet, followed by Josh Jacobs, who we mentioned. Keaton Mitchell, which he was a pickup as well, right?
I believe so. I don't remember seeing him started anywhere.
Ramondre Stevenson and my Austin Eckler, who's going to be having a big second half of the year.
Yes, Mitchell was definitely a pickup by the Dude Abides because I went in to try and grab him and a dude had just grabbed him.
Yep.
Gee, I wonder if Connor's running the waiver wire there this week.
I bet he is. Top wide receivers led by 2 Houston wide receivers, not the one I have, unfortunately, but Tank Dell and Noah Brown, 1-2. CeeDee Lamb, who is on my team, then Amari Cooper and Stephon Diggs for your top 5 wide receivers of the week. Then the big tight end week. We got, as we mentioned, Cole Kmet, number 1, 22.9 points. Dalton Schultz, Taysom Hill, Jonnu Smith, and then Cade Otton. The last two both being on Bear Bunda's team.
Yeah, although Cade was a pickup after the game, or at least during the game. So
Cade's an interesting one. Always has a few huge weeks and then a lot of nothing.
Yeah. He's like Taysom used to be before this season.
Yes. Top kickers, Younghoe Koo, Chase McLaughlin, Justin Tucker, Daniel Carlson, and Nick Folk. Top D-backs, Kenny Moore, which that was a pickup by you afterwards, right?
Yeah, that was after. Well, that was during the game. I definitely didn't get to play. If I had played him, you wouldn't have gotten the whoop-ass victory. Still would have lost.
Yeah. Followed by Poulsen Adebo, free agent. Jonathan Owens, free agent. And also I found out he is the fiancé or husband of Simone Biles.
Oh, yep. I've heard that a few times.
Playing for the pack.
Trying to cash in on that on that Tay-Tay fame.
That's right. Followed by Derwood James and Grant Delpit. Top D lineman, Max Crosby. We know about that one. David Onyemata, free agent. Micah Parsons, Dalvin Tomlinson, free agent. And Kobe Turner, free agent, as the D line often is. Linebackers, Juwan Bentley, we talked about. Byron Young, free agent right now. And I believe he's a rookie, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Followed by Joey Bosa, DeMario Davis, and Jordan Hicks. Interesting thing I do when I do the all-week teams. So this week, mm-hmm. It had been very much sparsy. This week, Telnet took it 365 to 348 in the mm-hmm. best players for each team in each position by division there. But year to date, Telnet has also taken it over, and it wasn't this way last week, where Telnet now has 2,188 points and Sparsy 2,151 points.
Ooh, picking up a nice 30-point bump there.
Indeed. All right, so if you had to guess the top five quarterbacks, I bet you could guess most of them.
Probably.
Let's see what you got.
Well, let's see. Based on one game throwing the curve, I'm going to guess CJ's in there.
He is not in the top five overall yet.
Oh, then I'm okay. Then I'm guessing that one game had too much of an impact. Well, I'm going to throw Jalen out there.
Yep, number two.
Let's throw... Oh man, names are falling out of my head tonight.
a lot of Josh normal Allen. Suspects up there. There you go, number one.
Yeah, so we got Josh, we got him. How about Tua?
Tua is number four.
Four. Let's see, Dak?
Nope.
Those first few weeks were not great.
Mr. MVP?
Is he really?
Pat Mahomes is number three.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Mr. Sam Howell at number five.
That doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't.
Yeah. Top five running backs. I like this one. Christian McCaffrey is number one, even though he didn't even play last week. Mostert, number two. Travis Etienne, number three. He did not play last week. Josh Jacobs moves up to four, and then Zach Moss is still holding on as the number five year-to-date. Top wide receivers, we know Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, D.J. Moore, which I like seeing D.J. Moore still on there because we were all haters on him at preseason.
And it's that one week that he had that explosion that's still keeping him in there.
Tight ends, Travis Kelce, TJ Hockenson, Mark Andrews, Sam Laporta, and George Kittle. I'm not going to do kickers. year to date. D-backs. Let's see here. Cameron Bynum, one of your Camerons. To go with that tandem with Cameron Curl. But number two, Kenny Moore, who's now on your team. Number three, Jesse Bates. Yep. Number four, Harrison Smith. Number five, Kyle Duggar. D-lines, the massive Max Crosby, and at number one, like he should be. Miles Garrett still at number two. DeForest Buckner at three. Micah Parsons all the way up to number four. Montez Sweat still holding on to number five, even though he was traded to the Bears and did nothing last week.
Yeah.
linebacker Zaire Franklin for Birbunda, number one. Foye Sade Olukwan, number two. TJ Edwards, three. Terrell Bernard, four. And Jordan Hicks, number five. Back to you.
All right. Let's see. A hat in here that if we did poopers, we'd do their drink of choice. Should we do the poopers?
We could. I'm not extremely creative as a numbers guy.
I'm going to forego the poopers this week because it's not as fun without Danny here. So, yeah, no poopers this week. Instead, we'll go and move on to, because we did all the extra stats we don't normally do.
That's right.
Instead of the poopers, let's talk about the battle for the Pierce instead. Indeed.
You're a loser. Loser.
So, you had already mentioned we'll look at the bottom six, because I don't foresee a world where any of the top six are, I don't really see a world where any of the top five. Yeah. I don't see where any of the top five. Okay, there's no way any of the top five are going to be getting the Pierce. There's no way a six-win team is getting the Pierce. Yes. So we'll go from the bottom seven. So we got Gridiron Mafia. We got Roster Guard 99. We've got Night Shift. We got Sweatman's Runners. We got Lance Manlove. We got San Diego 8. And we've got the 25 percenters. Who are your top three contenders for the Pierce?
Well, I mean, 25 percenters, obviously. That's your number obviously, one.
Yeah. Okay. Let's put 25 percenters aside because they're the easy pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who are your three dark horses?
I mean, you've got 3-3-6 teams. I'm looking at points mainly, and I mean San Diego 8, like I said, has got to be, like, if they stop winning, they're right there. So few points scored, yet they have three wins. It's interesting. Gridiron Mafia, even though they're 4-5, they have a ton of points. So if it comes down to tiebreaker, I don't see that happening. Roster Guard, Sweatman's Runners, Night Shift, and Lance Manlove all have almost the exact same points. With 15-14, 15-17, 15-02, and 15-15.
Yeah, that's pretty darn close.
So after 25 percenters in San Diego 8, it's really those four, but gosh, I really think it's a two-team race right now with a 200-point difference between everybody else and those two.
That's a very fair assessment. So if you had to pick one out of those other four, who are you sending down to that two-headed race?
Jason. I'm going with Lance Manlove.
Honestly, that's probably who I would too. And not for any particular reason, just because history.
Yeah, he's been there.
Yeah. You got to show that you get out of there other than the COVID year.
Indeed. Now, John's no stranger to the Pierce either. I will say that.
That's true. And I stand by my assessment that Danny hates that he was the weakest undefeated team earlier this year. He is not looking strong.
He's not, no. Although no, total points for the year, he's still number two. He has more points scored than Chuck right now for the full season.
John at 15-14?
Oh, I thought you said Danny. Sorry about that.
No. I'm talking John.
Yeah, John, yeah. He is.
No, Danny. Yeah. Danny didn't agree with me that John was the weakest of the four undefeateds at one point.
Something else that stands out when you were looking at points. Have you seen the points scored against Chuck?
I have not looked at it in a while.
14-75 against Chuck. He has had by far the easiest schedule.
Yes, he has. No wonder he's 8-1.
Indeed. Nobody scores when they play against Chuck.
All right. So that's our prognostication on the battle for the Pierce. That's who we think. So 5 weeks to go. No one's locked in. No one's locked out yet. Make sure you play your best lineups. Let's look ahead at week 10. Do our white boy dances make Connor proud? Raise that roof, yeah. Too bad it's all audio, Bizzle. So let's start off with number 5, E-Town Asian at 6-3. Taking on number 8, Night Shift at 4-5. Now, as of this afternoon, the Yahoo super early projected outcome was E-Town's going to take it by about 3 touchdowns. Start off with E-Town. Wide receiver for them has been on a down streak. Zay Flowers, DJ Moore. But Olave did catch his second touchdown of the season last week. RB is kind of shaky. Got Edwards going against Cleveland. Got Bijan versus his own coach and Arthur Smith. I'm very interested in Joshua Dobbs, how he does in week 2. For Night Shift, you've got a very remade offense. Kyler Murray's coming off the pup. David Montgomery finally gets to start. Khalil Shakir is currently slotted in to start, brand new to the roster. I'm very interested to see what Kyler is going to bring as far as his impact on Hollywood Brown and Trey McBride. What do you think there, Scotty, on this matchup?
Well, Quiddy Pay is in the matchup as well, just to mention. So go eat down there.
Wouldn't be a Scott week without Quiddy Pay.
This is super interesting. So I was just looking this up. So E-Town is the number 5 offense and number 5 defense on the year. The Night Shift is the number 8 offense and number 8 defense on the year.
I noticed that earlier today when I was looking through the stats.
Crazy. Both lines up like that. Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to see the Night Shift have their big bounce back week. Let's see what Addison does with Dobbs, and yeah. See if Trey McBride can have another big one. Like you said, yeah, a lot of that. It's tough because E-Town really is boom or bust, but they boom a lot.
Yeah. I've been busting a lot more than booming lately.
Yeah. he's got those star rookie running backs that you just never know what they're going to do with Gibbs and Bijan, and Olave hasn't been consistent either. So, yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm projecting a tight one, and in the words of Chuck, I'd rather be wrong and win. I'm going to pick E-Town.
I will also.
I'm not going to pick myself. Call it superstitious if you want, but
that's how you got your win last week.
Last time, anyway. Yeah. Who you got?
Yeah, I got E-Town as well. Yeah.
All right. We'll go on to number 2, Awful Waffles at 7-2, taking on number 7, Roster Guard 99 at 4-5. The Yahoo super early projected outcome as of Wednesday afternoon is Roster Guard by about 8.
Yeah, with Cooper
Kupp. Awful Waffles, they need to sign a wide receiver. T. Higgins and Amon-Ra look good on paper. I do worry about Dre Greenlaw's shoulder. Not officially a healthy diagnosis yet. Player to watch for me, can Jake Ferguson make it 3 in a row for double digits for this young wonderkin tight end?
Yeah.
For Roster Guard, needs to sign a tight end. don't like wide receiver at all for them. Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson versus Las Vegas, and playing with Zach Wilson at quarterback. Darnell Mooney. I like Alvin Kamara and Rashad White. Player to watch for me is AJ Epenesa. He's been up and down all season, and I'm really curious if this is going to be an up week for him.
Indeed.
What's your take on this matchup?
Well, I mean, McCaffrey being back for bye, that's got to boost Ty quite a bit. Both teams are backsliders right now in how they've been doing. So,
yeah,
I'd love to see Ty get back in it and get back up there. Got to replace Cooper Kupp and sign someone though. Come on, Ty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like Rossegard's team. He's got a lot of good players, but they really got to put it together at the same time. He's had a great defense, and he gets hopefully gets Quay Walker back, and he's been really good. Yeah. It's an interesting matchup. 4-5 versus 7-2, but boy, are they close.
Never has a 7-2 look more like a 4-5 than right now.
Indeed.
I'm taking Awful Waffles in this one, but it's going to be pretty darn close.
Even though I want Ty to win, I think I'm going with John to take it.
You go with John.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we've got number one, Jim Kelly Hates Cancer with the world's easiest world's easiest schedule this year at 8-1. Taking on number 10, Lance Manlove at 3-6. Oh, it just gets easier. Super early projected outcome is that Lance Manlove is actually going to take it by 1 point. Now, for Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, Kenneth Walker III has a shot at a get-right game after being out-snapped for the last 2 weeks by Charbonnet. I don't like Davante Adams' chances of improving against the Jets' pass defense. Taysom versus Minnesota is probably the offensive juggernaut this week for them. Player to watch. Can Justin Herbert survive the Detroit pass rush? Very curious there, because he didn't look too great on Monday night. And that was against the Jets, who really their defense is about all they have.
Yes.
For Lance Manlove, they need to sign a kicker. I mean, could be a big thing, could be a small thing. Who knows? Henry and Jacobs are okay. Jonathan Taylor, probably pedestrian against New England. Nuke, on the other hand, should eat against Tampa Bay's very porous pass defense. Player to watch for me is Bryce Young. I would say he needs to hit fast versus the Bears on a very short week. What's your take on this matchup?
Yeah, starting Bryce Young's an interesting one.
Especially when at one point there was Massage Watson on this team.
And then Ben had to pick him up, so I don't have a great quarterback against him. Screw you, Ben. With your multiple quarterbacks. Number 5 quarterback in the week. You still pick him up, so I can't pick up a quarterback with Hurts out. Come on. But hopefully I got something brewing on a trade with that. So I think we got something coming after this podcast. So
yeah.
Yeah. Also, speaking of Ben, he had the top 2 kickers on his team at one point. So Jason, maybe look there for a trade for your kicker.
Yeah, there you go, Jason.
We haven't seen a kicker trade in a while. That'd be fun.
I want to see a kicker trade. Make it happen.
Yes. I love the – oh, boy. Chuck must have defense on bye this week because he's normally got a stellar defense, and I don't know about this week. We'll see how that goes. But Jason's defense, boy, has that been his life-saving thing this year because his offense has been horrible.
Yes, it has been.
He is the number 12 offense on the year.
Oh, my.
But somehow with that number 6 defense, he's still hanging on. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go check, though.
Yeah, I'm going Chuck too. It'll probably be close, but I'm sticking with Chuck. Number 4, Bear Bunda's Nightmare. It what is it? 6-3 is going to take on number 12, the 25%ers at 0-9 in the toilet bowl game of the week.
Nothing like a Philly bye week for the 25%ers.
Yes. Oh, the super early projected outcome is that Bear Bunda will win by a butt ton, which for all of you listening is an actual unit of measurement. Check it out. For the Philly, for the 25%ers, this is the Philadelphia Bimageddon we all expected during the draft. We all wondered who was going to be playing Jizza during the Philly Bimageddon.
Danny gets it.
Missing a wide receiver, a running back, a tight end, a defensive tackle, and a linebacker. None of these guys are on their roster on the bench either. They are going to have to pick them up and drop the Philly players, or trade and drop the Philly players, they're just punting this week. So either Jizza is cutting all of his Philly players in one way or another to be competitive, or he's handing Danny a win and sending him to 7-3. For Danny, outside of Allen, Diggs, and Brian Robinson, I don't trust much in the offense this week.
No.
Maybe Kittle if Debo doesn't suit up for San Francisco. I'm watching Michael Pittman. The matchup says it's green, but this could be the player that Belichick chooses to take away. And none of that really concerns me because of the Philly Bimageddon.
Yeah, Danny's got some interesting ones. Like Bosa, like we talked about with Chase Young there. We'll see what Bosa can do. Mm-hmm. Jordan Brooks, even though he's projected low, had a fantastic week last week. Way over the projection. So I think Danny could win by even more than the projected. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm taking Bear Boone to win with both hands tied behind his back.
Indeed, as am I.
Yeah. Next up is Gridiron Mafia, number 6 at 4-5, taking on number 11, San Diego 8 at 3-6. Early, super early Yahoo projected outcome is that San Diego 8 is going to win by 18 or so. For Gridiron Mafia, I got to play around with the plugging in the optimum lineup with a bunch of bye players because it's Wednesday and Joe doesn't set his lineup on Wednesday.
He does not.
He waits till later in the week to do so. But so I'm playing around with what I would assume he's going with the best projected players. I like CJ Stroud against Cincinnati in what I would expect to be a boat race game. Ramondre should continue to shine against Indianapolis. I don't like Cook in Buffalo.
He's got Javonte he can put in.
Yeah, I'm just simply going by the highest numbers. So I'm very interested to see if Madison stays with his stud ways in Minnesota with Dobbs under center that he had last week, and no more Cam Akers in the wings.
That's right.
For San Diego 8, give me Goff, Godwin, and Ayuk. I like all three of those guys. Not so sure about Jerome Ford or Aaron Jones, unless Jones is used a lot in the passing game. I'm watching Debo Samuel if he suits up, because if he suits up, I'm very curious if he sucks up targets away from Ayuk or Kittle. I would expect it to be Kittle he takes them away from. What's your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, this is a tough one with Joe not doing his roster yet. He's got a whole lot on the bench. Like a Luquan still on the bench there who can fill in for a Cole Holcomb who's on the IR. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you get 14 more points there. You get Stroud 23 projected because Mahomes is out. I mean, he makes up all that difference pretty easily. Yeah, and the way that Rob has been going backwards in points, he's so close. I gotta think Joe takes it.
Hmm. I'm gonna pick an underdog here. Just right. Say San Diego 8. Just 'cause. And our final matchup of the week is number 3, The Dude Abides at 6-3. taking on number 9 Sweatman's Runners at 3-6. We have a palindrome standing here. Yeah. And this is going to be our game of the week. Super early projected outcome is that the dude abides is going to take this by nearly 20, but I think Yahoo's wrong there. Sweatman's Runners is over 200 points in the last two games, and the dude abides is coming off a loss. And that was a pretty low output game for them.
It was.
For the dude abides.
I've got his points per week right here, just because I was interested.
Oh, yeah?
So he has scored 200, 172, 237, 179, 242, 235, 187, 240, and then all of a sudden 134 last week. But talk about a juggernaut and getting over 200 points.
Jamar Chase is a big story for them because of that one catch he went up for that he didn't catch, and he came down straight on his lower back. He still was not practicing today. So he may or may not even play. Other than him, I like the rest of the wide receiver core. I'm not so sure about the running back lineup. Tony Pollard, we've talked about him. Breece Hall, I expect Zach to get smacked in the mouth at quarterback, so Breece Hall may not even get much play. I'm watching Mark Andrews. Cleveland is stingy against the tight end, but he's Mark Andrews. And then for Swans Runners, wide receiver strength here. CD, Deontay, Jahan Dotson. Plus Nico in the aforementioned expected boat race against Cincinnati. I know he didn't get a whole lot last week, but you got to get something, some piece of that pie. Running back is solid too with Eckler and Etienne, not on a bye. My player to watch is Cole Kmet. He gets another week with Bajent on a short week where there's not time to install a whole brand new game plan. So, you know, he'll probably get a fair amount of targets. What's your thoughts on this matchup there, Scotty?
Yeah, I don't like seeing the early projections, but like you said, I also think Yahoo has been quite wrong. I have quickly gone from negative in the projections to, let's see here, where I am. Because of my last few big weeks, I am now only negative 4.16 points after being almost negative 90 at one point after the last 2 weeks. So my team has caught up against the projections, which has been fantastic.
All right.
Ben has a lot of players that are not living up to their projections lately. Like you said, Pollard and Breece Hall. So if Jamar Chase doesn't go, I think it could be a lot closer than it shows right now, which I would really enjoy, because if I could somehow take out Ben, I get the 25%ers next week. So
you could be up for a nice roll.
Oh, and also, I am picking Ben, you in the upset. Three excellent quarterbacks right now, two on his bench.
Yeah. Well, I'm picking you in the upset. So
woohoo. Following in your lead, I'm not going to pick myself because I don't want to see that. So.
Wise choice. I'd rather be wrong and win.
That's right.
All right. So there you go, gentlemen. That's what this week is. Before we close out, keep, trade, cut. We're going to go Thanksgiving edition.
Ooh.
Keep one, trade one, cut one. Mashed potatoes, stuffing, and cranberry sauce.
Okay. Well, not a big cranberry sauce fan. That's going on the cut.
All right.
Oh, boy. I like stuffing and mashed potatoes equally. I really enjoy dipping a roll in my mashed potatoes. That's not really part of the equation. The stuffing, it depends on the stuffing. My in-laws, where we're going this year, make an excellent stuffing with pine nuts and apples in it, which I really enjoy.
I've never had it made that way. My mother-in-law used to make it with sausage in it.
Oh, yeah. That is also good. There's so many ways you can go with stuffing. So I'm going to go keep stuffing, trade mashed potatoes, and cut cranberries.
All right. I would go, I'm keeping the mashed potatoes. I'm trading the stuffing because I think it would have more value. And I'm, as much as I love cranberry sauce, I'll cut it.
There we go.
All right. So I am 20-16 on the season of my picks. I got to adjust that in my notes before I forget, since I did get one right last week. If you guys want any NFFL swag, you can pick it up on Redbubble at bit.ly/NellisNFFL. There are buys this week for Kansas Philly. City. That's not the right one. Philly, clearly Philly. We've got
the Rams.
Kansas City, the Rams, Miami, and Philadelphia. And Thursday Night Football this week is Carolina and Chicago. So, Scotty, thank you again for being my co-host this week, and especially for bringing all the stats with you. Been a pleasure.
It has been my pleasure. Love being on it.
All right, gentlemen, we'll see you on the gridiron.
And keep ring going.
That's right. Production of Head First Studios. Head First Studios. Tell your story.